far.
Previously in Aphon Kiss, written and read by Alice Dale, Pippa and David's visit to Father Dempsey proved difficult. Although a kindly man, willing to help, he had asked some awkward questions.
Father Andrew filled an uncomfortable silence with...
You see, people change.
That's it exactly, Andrew.
David jumped in.
My wife changed beyond recognition.
I was going to say that sometimes we have to accept change. As the bard said, love is not love which alters.
The English teacher couldn't resist finishing the quote, when alteration finds.
But surely it depends on what form the alteration takes.
Well, a good example is when we look back at ourselves as teenagers. Do we see ourselves the same now?
Father, you're talking about changing from child to adult. That's a natural change, a progress, if you like.
David had reverted to calling him father.
Exactly. And when a couple marry, they are at one stage in their lives and gradually they both change as the years pass. And not necessarily in the same way.
Exactly. Gloria's change was more like a metamorphosis. She went from being a kind-hearted, understanding girl to a hard, grasping woman, no longer lovable.
Father Andrew drew in an audible breath through puckered lips.
That's a very strong criticism, David.
It was Pippa's turn to speak. Andrew, one thing I've learned about David is he's always scrupulously truthful. If that's his description of his wife's change, you can rest assured it's accurate.
I dare say you're right, Philippa. And I'm glad you spoke, because it was you who made the appointment to talk to me. Can I take it that David's problem also concerns you?
Yes, it does. And you've probably guessed what that problem is.
I might have, because a number of parishioners in David's situation have come asking questions. For instance, can a divorcee receive Holy Communion?
I never even thought of that. I assume the innocent party being divorced, possibly against his or her will, is still in a state of grace and free to receive the sacrament.
You're spot on, David. Do you mind if I ask if this divorce, should it go through, would be totally against your will?
For a moment, David wrestled with the answer, wondering how much depended on it. Then he felt he'd found it.
I would have been against it.
I hear a big if at the end of that. The
priest didn't attempt to push for an answer, just sat quite still, looking at David with an encouraging smile. Pippa lowered her head and waited for the all-important answer. She was sure her doctor would be alarmed if he took her blood pressure right now.
I see what you mean, Andrew.
David said, returning to first name terms.
And you're right. In fact, there's two ifs. I would have been devastated if Gloria hadn't changed so much and if I hadn't met Pippa.
Andrew was looking into the contents of his cup. Then, raising his head, he spoke more lightly.
Do you think perhaps we're getting ahead of ourselves? Divorce takes a long time to go through. 2 years if separation is agreed and 5 years if contested.
We've already been separated for 2 years and it was my wife who caused the separation by unnecessarily joining up. She didn't even tell me till the week before she was leaving. And I've only had one letter telling me she was being moved south as a driver for the major named in that letter. Not another word until I got that letter naming herself as an adulterer.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
David, you're not talking to a lawyer. But even I can see that if your wife has no grounds for divorcing you...
No, none.
Then you would have to be the one to instigate the divorce proceedings. Is that what you're asking me? Whether the church would accept a divorce you instigated?
A thundering silence fell as Pippa and David exchanged looks of confusion. Finally, Pippa spoke very quietly. It never occurred to us that David would have to instigate the divorce proceedings. Sharing her next thought with David, she said, "We just assumed that your wife had it all in hand when she named the lawyers for both of you."
"Perhaps you need to meet her and talk this over,"
Andrew offered.
"How can I? Her barracks are somewhere in Dover, even if she could get leave to meet me."
I think her lawyer will have to take it from here, David. Meantime, have you any other questions I could help you with?"
He waited an instant, but both were momentarily too stunned to remember the main question they'd come to ask. So Andrew broke the silence with,
"I wish I could help you. I really do. But you need a solicitor to answer your legal questions."
With a little tap on his knee, he stood up.
"I mustn't keep Anna waiting too long with the lunch."
With a little laugh, he added,
"She gets quite cross if I'm the cause of a burnt offering."
David also stood, and suddenly his head cleared.
"The real question we came to ask seems superfluous at the moment, but I'm going to ask it anyway. If this divorce goes through, and I'm the innocent party, remember, could Pippa and I be married in church?"
"Oh, dear. Lunch may have to wait a little,"
he said as he sat down again, followed by David. Pippa hadn't moved a muscle. She sat upright, her eyes fixed on the priest who was speaking again.
"No. I'm afraid... that wouldn't be possible."
"Why not?"
David snapped.
"I would have to spend a lot more time explaining the many good reasons why the church takes a definite stand on that."
As though the word "stand" were an order, David got to his feet again.
"I don't think we have time for all the reasons. Thank you, Father. You've answered the question that mattered. We'd better go. We have a lunch invitation and we wouldn't want to spoil that lunch either."
Father Andrew rose, and as he offered his hand, David took it and spoke sadly.
"I think we have many, many things to consider."
"Yes, you have,"
the priest said kindly.
"May God guide your deliberations. Lovely to meet you, Mrs. Stebbings."
As he also shook her hand, and he noticed her cheeks were moist under her glistening eyes. On their way to Irene's, Pippa remarked, "Now that we've met Father Dempsey and have heard how rigidly he adheres to church rules, it seems extremely unlikely or impossible that he would be having any kind of liaison with Anna."
"Oh, I agree. Look, I don't think for a moment that he's a hypocrite."
Irene opened the door with Pamela close behind her, and both stood aside with beaming smiles. But it was immediately obvious it was not going to be a celebration lunch after all. Her mother's head drooped as she entered, removing her hat, and David looked positively grim. "Looks like time for a drink," Irene said as she closed the door. "Right?"
"Definitely."
Came from their two voices simultaneously. They looked at each other with a strained smile, when normally they would have laughed at their simultaneous answer. John and Craig were both reading Sunday papers as Pippa and David entered the lounge. Immediately they stood up, folding their newspapers. Craig bent his head in order to look into his mother's face. Well? Oh, Craig, it's all so complicated, she said, slowly shaking her head. Irene, standing behind Pippa, looked over at John and nodded towards the drinks table. Sherry, Philippa? He asked. Yes, please. A double, she answered as she lowered herself into an armchair. I take it the answer was no, Craig offered, looking to David for confirmation.
It's more complicated than that, Craig.
Thank you.